Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. We can't call in. Time to start free balling.
Welcome to free balling, everyone. Welcome to the 2022 free balling Christmas special.
Free balling Christmas special. We love a Christmas special.
Fucking love Christmas.
I love Christmas too, dude. You know what I love Christmas? Not having to work and drinking all the beer.
Nice.
I'm drinking Brooklyn today.
How strong is it?
Brooklyn lager is 5.2%. That's pretty powerful for a lager, and that's not a lager.
That is
an amber ale at
that is blonde.
I love a good blonde.
Yeah, but that looks
especially
like
when
they've
got good
head. Ah, Christmas.
So, what's your favorite thing about Christmas, Bastion? Seems so we're here on with our festive. Faces on.
The festive faces. Favorite thing about Christmas.
I feel like it shouldn't take this long.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It feels like the older I get, certain aspects of Christmas don't hit as much as they did when
Scrooge.
I was a kid. No. Not even Scrooge.
Bah,
like just
humbug. You still haven't chosen anything.
No, I'm aware. It's just that usually my favorite thing is like going to my grandma's place.
Yeah,
but this year's kind of rough just because she's not been well, so not being able to go is kind of a bummer. But that's usually what it is. Going to my grandma's place.
You can say grandma's place.
No, we can't because of how she's feeling. She doesn't want anybody around.
Like you know, so my thing was going to be Christmas food. Sometimes. It's not.
But that's
good.
Why. It's because no. But that's because she's the one who made the Christmas food, like tamales.
Yeah.
I don't really eat tamales throughout the fucking year because it's Christmas food. Yeah. It makes no sense. Yeah. It's fucking anarchy if I eat it throughout the year. But like my brother's gotten to a point where it's like if it's around Christmas, if my grandma isn't making tamales, he refuses to fucking eat them, and I get it.
Damn. Oh, I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right. That's why I was just like, I'm trying to think of something else that's a little more uplifting.
I was going to say, that was a... Damn. I just want to give you a big old hug.
Okay, my second favorite, though, is the amount of fucking Christmas content that we watched. So last year we covered movies, which I thought was good. And this year, just I think Christmas TV... just doesn't get as much love as it deserves. There's just so much of it. There's so fucking much of it.
Mm-hmm. If you're any kind of a, if you're kind of any kind of a TV show that's been going for more than a season, there's two things you'll start to consider: a Halloween or Thanksgiving episode, and definitely a Christmas episode, because we know the characters now. It's like that shit's funny.
Absolutely. So it's just a staple, and I think that's probably why, you know, we're using this Christmas special to talk about our favorites, because there were a lot. Like I said, there was a lot, and it was not easy to narrow that fucking down.
It was not easy,
like, at all.
Some of them were too broad. I thought of something, and then immediately thought of something else, and was like, shit. Like,
same. And like, I try to give myself the challenge of like keeping it to trying to pick one Christmas episode.
I've got one per
TV show.
Yeah.
And it was hard. It was really hard. Like there are some shows that, you know, have been on long enough where they have multiple ones, and it's like,
yeah,
you got to top them. And sometimes they do. I mean, sometimes they don't, but sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do not.
Nah, they fumble. It happens. It happens to the
best.
That's
a 5-yard penalty, bro.
Exactly.
Actually,
there you
it's
go.
Nice. A fumble could really lead into like a scoop and score, but not really.
No, it doesn't really work. It doesn't really work in this context.
Not really. No. I'm sorry.
No, dude, you're good. So we're gonna be talking about our favorite animated Christmas episode, our favorite dramatic Christmas episode. We're gonna dip into some sci-fi for it, sitcoms obviously, and then round it out with just our favorite overall like Christmas special.
What was that one topic in the middle there?
Sitcom?
No.
Drama?
No, you said sci-fi.
I did say sci-fi. What's up?
Oh, I fucked up. I don't have sci-fi here.
Oh, buddy.
I've got drama. Drama?
Drama?
Drama? I've got drama, animated, sitcom, and Christmas special.
Oh shit! Okay.
You want to go with yours real quick?
Yeah.
I'm on minus one. Talk about that scoop and score. I just fumbled.
All right, so we'll get sci-fi out of the way. So what I picked was a Doctor Who episode. Technically, it's a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
It's Doctor Who: The End of Time.
Okay.
So I don't know. Yeah. It's technically their Christmas special, but yeah. I don't know how familiar you are with Doctor Who.
Who's the Doctor?
Tennant. This was actually his swan song. Air quotes swans. This was the last episode of him as the Doctor.
I thought that was Water on Mars.
No, it's the end of time. It's a two-parter. It's at the end of it, regenerates into Matt Smith.
Ah, oh, I thought it was one. I was okay. Yeah. Well, I don't. I could remember, but I don't remember.
Well, so the basic story is, you know, he's been building. There's a prophecy
is Catherine
building.
Tate the sidekick.
At this point, she had already left because
I remember Christmas episode where he helps Catherine Tate's dad, like, see Christmas fireworks or some shit.
I think this might be it. Her grandfather.
Yeah, her grandfather. Yeah.
It's at the end, you know, he salutes the Doctor and he's crying and shit and like.
Yeah. That guy died.
But yep, I know. That was really heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
But like, sorry. The episode
Your
as a
episode,
whole...
my bad.
No worries. But the episode as a whole is... I started watching Doctor Who relatively late in life. Like, I think I started just before Matt Smith took the reins. So, like, I was,
oh, damn.
You know, I had their stuff on Netflix. So I saw Eccleston and Tenet. And then David Tennant was my doctor. I started with Eccleston, but, like, he was only there for a series and Tennant stayed for as long as he did.
I watched all of Tennant, but this, like, for me, that show held, like, no longevity for me in terms of, like, memory.
Yeah.
Like, I can remember like one or two episodes, but like, you know, like the one of the angels is going, Don't Blink. Like that was episode really well. Like over here,
it scared the shit out of me, dude.
Oh yeah, it scares the shit out of everyone. Like, it's actually generally scary. And like,
it is a terrifying fucking concept.
I remember the Ood, like they've got like these sort of like glowy brain balls. Like
yeah. Like, so I don't know if you know that, you know, David Tennant's coming back to be the 14th Doctor.
Well, for a special.
Yeah, for a special or two before he transitions into the 15th. But, you know, he's officially being recognized as the 14th.
Okay.
And so when I saw that, I was like, wait, what? So I went down the fucking rabbit hole, bro. I started right from Eccleston, and I have been watching and catching up. I'm like at Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor, so like I'm getting there.
Oh my god!
It's a lot. But in rewatching it and getting back and rewatching the end of time, that shit hit different, bro. Like knowing what's gonna happen and knowing, you know, especially when he's like, you know, I don't want to go. You see how. I didn't really notice it the first time around, but watching it now, like, there's a character change in Doctor Who towards the end where he tries to be more aggressive and fighting against fate, but it's like, the more he does it, the more he pushes himself closer to his fate.
Yeah.
Which is mind-blowing to me, and then, you know, the Time Lords and shit that you gotta deal with in this episode. It's just a really... It's not very Christmassy. I'm gonna put it there. Like the only Christmas thing this that it's got going like for it
has,
is that
this has Christmas written all over it.
Like legit, the only Christmas thing that it has going for it is that the first part came out on Christmas Day and the second part came out on New Year's Day. That's the only holiday aspect of it. There's that some bits sprinkled in.
Strange.
For real, but it's I love it, dude. Yeah. I want to, like, legit. As soon as you suggested sci-fi, I knew I was gonna pick a Doctor Who episode.
Fuck me if I remember suggesting sci-fi.
We need to save it in the chat.
We need to save it in the chat, bro. I remembered off my brain, off my old noggin, drama animated sitcom, and then I went onto the Snapchat. And we had Christmas special saved. Nothing else. I swear to God.
It's all good, bro. Okay. So that's sci-fi. Sci-fi covered.
Sci-fi covered. Where do we want to go next, my sir?
I will let you pick, my dude.
You will let me pick. It is technically your turn. I want to do my sitcom.
All right, let's do it.
So I have gone with a Community episode.
Okay.
I've gone with Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, Season 2, Episode 11.
I fucking love that episode.
I love this episode too. It might be one of my favorites. It is like this stop motion animation, because like we're in the mind of Abed, because like he's sort of gone into this catatonic state. They get John Oliver's like professor to come in to be a bit of a shit therapist. Like they've all turned into these characters, and like I every time I watch this episode, the like what makes me giggle almost from the get go is Pierce's teddy feet. They sound design a squeak every time Pierce would. And then Abed has this like funny little song that like whenever someone fucks up in a game. Like, there'll just be silence for a little bit, like, Bobby's whiffed the save on Rocket League or something, and we're 5-0 down, and we want to give up and go play something else. I'll just start seeing, Britta Bart, Program Bradley. When Abed, like, because Abed has to stop, like, all the friends that have, like, not really understood the assignment. Like, Shirley tries to make Abed see that, like, Christmas is about Jesus. Like, I think Jeff just leaves. But it's funny how this episode humanizes one of the one of the worst characters in the show. Like, Piers stays with Abed because he's sure of what Christmas means to him, and therefore doesn't have to give a shit about anyone else. It's like, no, Christmas for me is like cookies, like whiskey, boobs and cream, that kind of shit. Like, he's so sure-headed, because the one thing about what makes this a huge Christmas episode is like the meaning behind it. That Christmas, the meaning of Christmas is that Christmas has meaning.
Yeah.
I fucking love that. Because, like we were just saying, like how I started this episode, like, what's your favorite thing about Christmas? It's almost kind of like, what does Christmas mean to you? And to you, it means spending time with your grandma, like, you know, a childhood nostalgia memory.
Yeah.
So, like, almost at this point, a tradition, Christmas traditions. Mm. For me, it's like, I like how every Christmas is unique. Like, even though it's like the same but new.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to get the same present twice. You know, you're never going to have the same Christmas dinner twice. You're never going to watch the same movie. This year, we're going to watch Glass Onion. Like, and I'm excited because I've already seen that movie. Like, if only came out for a week on cinema, by the power of Zeus Almighty himself, I will find a cinema to see it in. But that movie could have.
Power of Grayskull.
I went to go, the Christmas movies, like, sort of, so, you know, my own way, like, your interest, your own, my own Christmas traditions.
Yep, absolutely.
This is very white. Presents, food, and movie, and beer. Lots of beer.
my brother, my sister, and I have this thing where it's like the week before Christmas, we watch a Christmas movie every day, and Christmas Eve is usually like a double feature. We do the Santa Claus and we do How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the live action one.
Me and my dad do Trading Places and Die Hard. We have a keg of beer. We can't really do that this year because you know what's happening on Christmas Eve this year, Sebastian?
What's up?
A shit ton of fucking football. Because football's supposed to be on Sunday, but they can't have all the games on Sunday. Because Sunday is Christmas fucking day this year. When this episode comes out. Either before or maybe after. Might be in that grey spot.
7 hours.
Christmas and New Year's of commercial free football.
Well, I mean, it depends on when I get the file from you. But it's fine. I do want to add to that community episode. Because what I really liked about it. You find out the reason that, you know, Abed goes catatonic is because his mom is unable to, like, keep with their traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about it, it's how far, you know, all of his friends and stuff are willing to go to make sure that he's taken care of, and that he feels loved, and that he feels special. On honestly, a holiday where a lot of people struggle to find that.
Yeah.
Especially someone like Abed, he's a very specific kind of character. He's got so many things going on with him that when traditions or anything minute is changed, it breaks him. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a really nice episode in terms of like family, especially when you know characters aren't, you know, blood related. You know, and the family that you find is also just as important as the family that you actually have. So, that's a great episode, dude.
Thank you. What is your sitcom session? Everyone wants to know.
Well, I was gonna...
Right now. Give me 2 seconds.
No worries. I was gonna go with a community episode, but we talked about one. And I want to, you know, have things a little different.
Just out of curiosity, what Christmas episode did you choose?
the holiday musical one.
The holiday musical.
Love that shit.
Teach
that
me how to understand your Christmas.
That song is overly sexual and I love it.
And fucking, you know, Jehovah's Most Secret Witness.
Jesus.
I fucking love rap. But the episode that I'm going to pick is an episode from Scrubs.
Okay.
So it is from season 4, episode 12. It is called My Best Moment.
Mm.
So The episode starts with JD. He is being asked, you know, what his best moment in medicine is. It doesn't really give the best story. So then he kind of asks everyone what the best moment is. So you get like this rolling montage of people like looking back at their best moments in medicine.
Yeah.
All while this this father and son come into the hospital. Dad's not feeling well. Kid's with him. And dad passes out. Turns out that they were, the kid and the dad were roughhousing. And the kid kicked his dad in the fucking spleen.
Oh, no.
So he needs surgery to repair it, but the guy doesn't have insurance. So, you know, Bob Kelso being Bob Kelso, he's like, you know, you gotta...
Who has two firms, stabilize him, and give a crap.
You gotta stabilize him and then, you know, get him the fuck out. And then eventually, kid meets Bob Kelso. Kid runs into Kelso and stuff and, you know... They talk and they learn. It's honestly one of my favorite lines in the episode. Kelso calls down to like administration and asks them to find a way to keep the guy so he can, you know, get the surgery and everything that he needs and, you know, be taken care of. Mm. You just have the admin ask, like, is this really Bob Kelso? It's like, yeah, this is really Bob Kelso. But it's a great, I think it's a great episode because like at the end of it, everyone is touched by these two people in one way or another. Everyone grows in a different way. You know, Cox stops feeling like he has to constantly be looking over JD. Carla feels validated by, you know, being the only person who knew, who heard the story of, you know, the kid, the dad getting kicked in the spleen, and JD steps up as a doctor, and Elliot fucking gets over her. Season four. Yeah. But so it's all around. I think it's a great episode. Obviously, Christmas in a hospital, it's not the best. And there was an episode before that I thought about going with, but I just thought this one was the more uplifting one.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Scrubs, that's my pick.
Nice. I like it. I like Scrubs. You know I do. oh, that one was good. That'll be hard to top. I pity the next. Well, with saying that, I should go to animated.
Let's do it.
Because I chose Futurama, Tale of Two Centers. This is season three, episode three. This is where, like, Bender has to take Santa's place after they freeze Santa. So Bender, like, he tries to be good, but he ends up being shit. Like, and then he ends up getting caught because, like, Santa's actually, like, this roaming mass murderer, like chaos enforcer now in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So they catch Bender as Santa Claus. And the mayor's like, when this number reaches zero, we're going to see some serious shit. Like, this counter goes down to zero. Meanwhile, everyone's breaking in. Amy, Leela, Fry. They're all saying, I'm Santa. And like, this guy's like, oh my God, no, you're not. And boom, after like three, no, I am Santa. No, I am Santa. Zoidberg comes in and goes, and I'm his friend Jesus. There's literally no rhyme or reason to this Christmas episode. It doesn't mean anything. Uh-huh. It's literally just a Christmas episode of Futurama. Like, they didn't even give a shit. It's episode three in season three. They were like, fuck it, let's just do a Christmas episode. Like,
fuck
it. Like, it's pure filler, but it's so good. I watched this with my, like, I remember watching this with my brother, like, because, like, back in the day when me and my brother, when my brother was still in the house, we, like, our Christmas, me and him, was like, we'd watch Simpsons episodes, Futurama episodes, like, Family Guy episodes, even fucking SpongeBob episodes every now and then or some shit.
Yeah.
And I just love this episode. And then you've got, The magnet that saves Bender, like Father Christmas comes in to save the day, like Santa Bot comes in, magnetizes Bender, and the mayor just goes, "Oh God, help us, Jesus!" And Zoidberg just looks, "Jesus helps those who help themselves," and fucks off. I guess the only other thing I'll add before we do yours is rest in peace, Coolio, as Quonsa Bot.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
Happy Kwanzaa, everybody. Okay. Happy holidays.
You know what's crazy? I picked a couple episodes because I wasn't sure which one I wanted to go with. Because okay. There's a part of me, I couldn't shake the idea that you were going to pick a Simpsons episode.
No.
And I was like, okay, you didn't pick Futurama. Great. Now, which one am I going to go with? But I think
that door wide open. I didn't even look at the door. I went downstairs, bro.
So it's definitely a Simpsons episode. It is season 7, episode 7, Marge Be Not Proud.
Not season 1, episode 1.
Nah.
This show's pilot is Santa's Little Helper, right?
I know. I know. But like I like it, but that one didn't affect me as much as this episode did. So this is the episode where Bart gets caught shoplifting the video game.
Yes. Yep. Phone Storm.
Marge is trying to gather everyone to go take family pictures at the store. Bart's been banned. He's trying to do everything he possibly can to get taken out. Takes the picture, and the picture just him getting yanked by the fucking security guard.
Yep.
The wall of TVs showing the footage of him taking the video game is just such overkill. And it fucked with me because of the way, like, the change in Marge after it, where it's like, you know, he's not my little boy anymore, and then with the hot chocolate.
Oh yeah.
She didn't put the marshmallows in for him. He puts it in. The marshmallow absorbs the hot chocolate.
Yeah, Grump. Hey, get me a slice.
When Bart comes home and everyone's made snow people, and he's got like the slush that he's got to do, and like, and I have a story
about that. Simpsons okay. Tapped Out started on Christmas 2012, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And one of the first things you can get, like, it's an OG thing. I think you can't get anymore. But it's like Out Loud and Proud in my town. Like I'll log on back to Tapped Out. I like doing all the Christmas stuff, putting my Christmas lights mm-hmm. down and everything, turning all the houses and buildings into Christmas time. Yeah. You can set out all the snowmen. And it was one of the first like sort of Christmas tasks you did.
Yeah.
Was every time you did something, you got one of the snowmen. So you did a task for Homer, you got the Homer snowman, where he makes himself real buff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Marge and Maggie, Bart, and then Lisa's, and then Bart's is like the gray slush from under the tire.
Yeah.
Yep. I love that shit.
So good. And it, you know, it ends with in such a real, in such a nice way. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets a proper picture, and you know, it's a Christmas present for Marge, and she fucking loves it. But I remember watching that episode as a kid, and just being like, God, if I ever did anything to have my mom change on me like that, that would fucking break me, dude.
Oh yeah.
Especially as a kid. Like, I didn't do... I wasn't shoplifting or doing anything destructive or anything like that. I was more like... My mouth got me into trouble.
Damn. All right.
Yeah,
Tell me more. Hey, yeah. So like, hey, yo! What'd that mouth do? Show me what that mouth do, girl.
So I had this really...
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would talk back, and if something didn't make sense... to me, I would try to call it out, and because I'd said so, I would call that shit out so much. And it was just like, it just felt like after a while, the more I pushed, the more it felt like one of these days, I'm going to say one thing and she's going to be like, bye.
Oh, sorry. I just slapped my mic. Shit, I'm sorry.
No. That has happened. That did happen once. Yes, that did not. That was not a fun time for me. I don't remember what the hell I said. I just remember.
Wallop.
Okay.
It's like that meme. There it is. That's a fucking mistake. He don't know it yet, but I'm gonna beat his fucking ass.
Pretty much. But yeah, no. This episode, like the ending, is just a really good episode.
It's really heartwarming. Like, it's touching. Especially for Simpsons.
And I love, like, the thing when she hangs the painting. She hangs the picture. It gets crooked. And then she puts that new picture of Bart and it straightens out.
Yeah.
And it's a great visual. Logistically, it makes zero sense. But I like it.
I love the visual, dude.
It's so good. It's so good. So, yeah, that's my animated.
We should get drama out of the way because I cheated.
Oh God!
No, I didn't cheat. It's not as bad as you with your Doctor Who coming out on Christmas.
Okay,
Christmas
fair
episode,
enough.
By us. So at least
it's literally a Christmas special.
There's imagery of Christmas in this episode, but Christmas isn't in and of like a sort of story driving theme.
Okay, all right.
I chose season 4, episode 5 of Lost, The Constant. This is the episode where Desmond is trying to, like, so there's Desmond 1996 and there's Desmond 2004, and they keep swapping places, like, mentally. Mm-hmm. So sometimes Desmond 2004, without realizing, is in Desmond 1996. So in 1996, he has to, like, he already knows of the sci-fi character Daniel Faraday. So he goes to find him in Oxford University, has to convince him that's like, look, I'm sort of time traveling from, like, my brain is like time traveling, not me physically, but my brain, like my sort of myself. And Daniel goes, you need to find a constant to when it gets really bad, you need to find a way to connect your constant to both your past and future self, like, to something that means something to you then and something to you now. It's an anchor, so to speak. It'll help you realize where you are and who you are. So he chooses Penny, his girlfriend, on a photo. And he says to Penny, like, 1996, but with 2004 brain. I'm trying to explain all of Lost here. It's kind of crazy. Because the show, like, this episode helps you understand the show that was before and the show that comes afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you kind of realize the island is time traveling, it's so to speak. It's really fucking weird. But he's like, look, in 2004, in 8 years, I'm gonna phone on Christmas Eve. I need your number. Like, they've broken up at this point. So this random crazy ex boyfriend is coming around. Like, I need your number, and you can't change it for 8 years because I'm gonna phone you on Christmas Eve 2004. And he does. He's on the boat. Mm-hmm. He says, like, Penny, is that you? Like, she's been searching for him. He's been waiting for this day because he's finally on the boat. Like, and he needs to be the one to help people know that, like, the boat isn't what it is, so to speak. He has to relay mm-hmm. the message to Charlie that it's not Penny's boat. Ah! But it's like, it's a really heartwarming episode. And it actually has a good meaning of Christmas to it, that one phone call, like the anticipation of it for years, is like this massive driving force, and it's mm-hmm. just the meaning of connection and love throughout Christmas. Like, you know, like, that was probably like Christmases are made out of moments, and in this one particular yeah. moment, like, these two find meaning for that Christmas.
Yeah,
it's really nice. Plus, you know, this episode helps you to understand Lost, and like I said, like, and actually, it helps you also understand Inception. Inception uses the same theory of just mm-hmm. one thing that is an anchor between, like, your time. So you know, yeah. if you know where you are, you have an anchor that only you know, like the weight, the size, the texture, the feel of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it lost its, like, its people. Yeah, that's my
I gotta be honest. This like, it didn't really scream drama as much as it did sci-fi.
I could have changed this to sci-fi. Lost is a sci-fi show. But I'd already put it in drama because I didn't remember sci-fi. Fair. And I didn't want to do a disservice to, like, almost a good 30 minutes of fucking work, bro.
No worries. No,
I could have put this in sci-fi. I wouldn't have had another drama, bro.
I mean, I'm fine with calling it both for you, honestly.
Yeah, drama sci-fi.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only one I was thinking of going of was Ted Lasso. And now that's a sitcom, but that Christmas episode from that season, that was drama. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if you ain't crying in that episode, you are made of stone.
You know what's hilarious to me is that, like, it seems like both of our drama episodes aren't, like, traditional dramas.
Yeah, this episode has kind of sucked for Christmas, bro.
No. I mean, in terms of, like, yeah, I mean, no, mine is very much Christmas. It is very important in it. Oh, so my drama is season 3, episode 8 of Supernatural, A Very Supernatural Christmas.
Oh, nice. This could have been your sofa.
That's why I asked, because I've never considered Supernatural a sci-fi show.
Sci-fi, you know, there aren't
really sci-fi. I mean, yeah, more fantasy. I wouldn't call it sci-fi. Well,
sci-fi fantasy is like the whole genre. In some people's
fair
eyes.
Enough. Well, I stuck it under drama because it made sense, and
yeah, which
And because there is a lot of, you know, with every episode of fucking Supernatural, there's always family drama, and there's a lot of funny moments in it. And so the basic premise is there is a monster, you know, killing people, specifically adults, and they believe that they're hunting like a Krampus, you know, an evil Santa Claus kind of creature.
Oh, sick!
You know,
I've seen this episode, but like I can't remember it. I watched Lost many moons ago.
It is such a good episode, and I remember there's one part of it where they're like scoping out, like, you know, a fake Santa, like his Christmas village and stuff, and they find him in his trailer. They bust in ready to kill him, and this Santa Claus has got bongs and he's watching porn and he's high as fuck, and they're like, He gets us, like, what are you guys doing? And they just start caroling their way out of the trailer. He sings along with them as they're walking out. And it turns out what they're actually hunting are these pagan gods who use Christmas to lure people who used to worship them as victims, you know. So they would usually focus on parents because they don't kill kids. They wait till they're grown up, then they fuck them up.
Yeah.
And it is a rough episode because, like, towards the end, you know, Sam and Dean get captured and there's like a ritualistic way that people are supposed to be eaten, and it's rough. Like, one of them slices Dean's arm and, you know, blood trickles down, and then another one just removes one of Sam's fingernails.
Oh,
it's rough. And this is broadcast. This is fucking TV. This isn't cable. This is regular TV. and obviously, you know, they kill them and everything, and the whole, there's an undertone of like Dean trying to get excited for Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know the arc of season 3, Dean's already made a deal to sell his soul, so at the end of the season he's expecting to go to hell.
Yeah.
So he's trying to enjoy his last year alive, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to have a proper Christmas, but Sam's very against it because they've never had a good Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, how do you have a good Christmas in that lifestyle? And it's cool because at the end of it, they give each other presents, and Dean gets a candy bar and a bottle of motor oil. So it's fuel for him and it's fuel for the car. And he gives Sam a pack of porn mags. And it's like, yeah, you're hunting monsters and stuff, but at the end of the day, it's two brothers, you know, finally deciding, like, you know, our dad never gave us a good Christmas. Fuck it. Let's give ourselves a good Christmas.
Fuck you, Jeffrey and Dean Morgan.
And it's just a great episode of Supernatural. Like, it's literally one of the episodes that gets played every year because it is a Christmas episode. Whether people want to, whether scary or not, Christmas is at the heart of the fucking episode.
It's like, is it the long kiss goodnight or kiss kiss bang bang? Whichever one has Samuel Jackson in it. That's a Christmas movie.
Long Kiss Goodnight. Yeah, I think Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, nah, the one with Samuel Jackson and the girl.
Sammy J.
Sammy J. He has got my keys in my left hand pocket. Got my gun in my right hand side. So I don't blow my dick off. And there's this moment where you think Samuel Jackson's died. And he comes barreling through these cars on the highway. And the musical note that plays behind so is on a fucking like bass guitar or some shit. It's playing power chords. It's awesome. I was like, this nice. Shit's a Christmas movie. But yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Oh, so we come to the final one. Christmas specials.
Christmas special.
Who's going first?
Me? It's your turn.
Yeah, it's me. Family Guy, Road to the North Pole. Season 9, episode 10. This shit is 44 minutes long. Family Guy is a regulated 20, 30 minute animated sitcom. This is a Christmas special. It fucking counts. Homie. I was going to say something else there. I had to control myself. We can say what we want on this podcast, but not new. Right, this episode. Why is it here? Because Stewie and Brian dress up as Santa and break into a fucking house. They fuck it. Like, Brian starts eating the chips. He's like, no. Stewie's like, you gotta eat the cookie and drink the milk. He eats the whole cookie and drinks the whole milk. He's like, you gotta leave a bit of the milk and a bit of the cookie. And Brian's like, why? He gets drunk. The reindeer fuck off and start eating themselves because they're hungry. They forgot to feed them carrots because Brian ate the carrot as well. The kid wakes up. They have to kidnap the kid. The dad wakes up and they have to use what they think is the son's baseball bat to beat the shit out of the dad, drag him into the fucking cupboard. And then they realize, wait a minute, Susie? Who's Susie? Do you have a brother? And she's like, no. Oh my God, Brian, we're in the wrong house. We've been here for an hour and a half. There's four apartment blocks. There's four apartment buildings on this block alone. We can't do this, Brian. This shit makes me laugh so hard every time I see it, dude. I think I'll go as far as to say this is top three Family Guy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you got like the, because like Fox made Stewie and, not Stewie, Family Guy and, but like their CSI series Bones. I don't know if you remember Bones. David Boreanaz, Emily Deschanel, Zoe Deschanel's sister. They combined. David Boreanaz gets knocked the fuck out and sees Stewie. This was repayment. Fox says, okay, now David, you don't have to be Brennan, but you have to go on Family Guy. So fucking Seth MacFarlane's like, I know where I'm going to put this motherfucker in the episode Road to the North Pole. The Aurora Boreanaz. David Boreanaz is the Aurora Borealis in the sky, directing Stewie and Brian to the North Pole where Santa is. It is
Jesus.
It is so perfect. That is Family Guy.
My God.
Oh, what's yours,
fucking
dude?
Fucking A.
What's yours?
You know what's? I didn't even think about that. I was like focused on like more classic Christmas specials because those are the ones that I watched when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like Rudolph and Santa Claus Come to Town and shit like that.
I thought you meant but, that's like I guess like oh God, I'm dying. Jack Frost. would be my Christmas classic.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, said Christmas classic, I probably would have got it.
Yeah, no, and that's fine. It's to me. So what I went with though is a Charlie Brown Christmas.
I knew you would do this because we had the Charlie Brown Christmas tree when we lived in that apartment together. It stayed up all year round.
It is partly that, but that's also, this is one of the ones that my dad and I watch because he fucking loves Peanuts, dude. He loves it. Like he loves Snoopy. He loves Charlie Brown. He loves all that shit. Okay. And like in prepping for it, it's crazy. I didn't realize that Charlie Brown Christmas was like the first TV special based off of these characters.
Mm.
That is crazy. And like, so the basic premise is like, Charlie Brown's depressed because, you know, Charlie Brown's always fucking depressed. But it's the holidays and Lucy, Chicken in the Little Blue Dress, suggests that he directs a Christmas play.
Yeah.
You know, being around people, it'll help raise his spirits. But in agreeing to do that, he gets so much shit for picking this puny little tree. It is basically a dead tree, and there is a single red ornament on it. A single red ball hanging from this tree. Obviously, eventually, everyone comes around and, you know, they sing and they dance and they do their thing.
Yeah, they do the thing.
And like you, and like you said, yeah, they do the Charlie Brown. They do and it's great. You know, it's a really great fucking Christmas special. And that tree has made its way into the real world for me. Obviously, that was our Christmas tree.
It was our Christmas tree.
Because we could not be bothered to get an actual tree. Fuck that. That one was perfect.
What was the point? We're only there for one Christmas. Depressing.
True. Which is why it was no, we were there for two.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure it was two Christmases.
We were there for one. I left before the other one.
Oh yeah. We had one full Christmas and then we left just before the other one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So then it was the perfect tree for that.
Man, that was the best year of my life.
And Charlie Brown Christmas.
Christmas
tree. It made it perfect for us. That single red ball.
May it rest. Do you still have it? I was about to say, may it rest.
It is up in the living room right now. Brilliant. It is like the centerpiece on the coffee table. Brilliant.
You need to upload that to the Instagram after this episode airs. Like, just put the caption of, you don't know what this means, but if you listen to the episode, you do. We need to start doing that.
Yeah, and so, no,
like upload an episode and then upload like a referencing picture. You don't know what this means. You listen to the episode,
but you will. Oh shit! But yeah, so that's
Christmas, short and sweet. Because we've done over 1 hour and 10 minutes for the past like three episodes. So it's nice to give the people a little bit of a short one, short and sweet. Get back to the eggnog, get back to the beer, get back to racist family members. Or family members sleeping on the couch. You wish they'd fuck off so you can play with your toys.
There you go. All right, everyone, that's going to be it for us. Going to sign off. Remember to rate, subscribe, share us. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Have a happy new year.
Animals.
And a happy new year.
I tell you what, I'm gonna give you snakes.
Snakes? Right. I don't know any snakes.
AC said you had some dough for me.
Oh yeah?
How much did AC owe you? AC said 10%.
Too bad AC ain't in charge no more.
Where is he? He's upstairs taking a bath. Alright, Johnny, I'm going.
I tell you what, I'm gonna give you snakes. I'm going to give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister out of my property before I pump your guts full of lead. 1, 2, 10.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals.
All right, take it easy, everyone.
Come join. join us on the trip.
I'm sorry.
Now we're throwing out the script. I heard we don't charge a penny. I hear the weakness calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.